Hi, I'm Stuart Spinks and welcome to episode 294 of my podcast, Beekeeping Short and Sweet. You know, honey isn't the only product we can get from our beehives. Wax is equally as important, and today I'm joined by Kevin Thorne of the Busy Bees Cosmetics Company, based in Sudbury, to chat about the range of products that they have and also how they can help other beekeepers improve their sales. Beekeeping Short and Sweet, a beekeeping podcast for the inquisitive beekeeper with a short attention span. A beekeeper, in fact, just like me. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Healthy Bees, Heavy Hives, a new book on beekeeping today with a focus on helping you maximise your yields and, hopefully, increasing profitability in beekeeping. Featuring clear diagrams and beautiful photographs that complement a relaxed and humorous writing style, which is both enjoyable and informative to read. Available now at Northern Bee Books, Amazon, and all good bookstores, both online and in your high street. You'll find links in today's podcast notes. Welcome, everybody, back to the podcast once more, and delighted to say I've got another guest on today. It's Kevin Thorne from Stour Valley Apiaries. Stour Valley Apiaries?
Depends which side of the river you come from. In Essex, it's one pronunciation, and in Suffolk, it's another, so I won't worry too much about it. They're both right.
Excellent. Stour Valley Apiaries, but actually, we want to talk about Busy Bee Cosmetics. Now, the Busy Bee Cosmetics business is run by Kevin's wife, Julie, but Julie's disappeared out on some delivery, so Kevin's decided to step in and talk about it with us. But let's talk about the beekeeping first, Kevin, because it's felt like it's been a long winter, but it's been really mild and wet. How have your bees fared, do you know?
For those that I've been to see recently, they seem to be coming through really strong. The slightly interesting piece is that through a health scare, I wasn't able to get to see the bees as much as I would like to at the back end of last year. So a third of my bees have been put to bed properly. A third have had the honey taken off but are not treated. And a third have neither had honey taken off or been treated. And to be honest, at the moment, they all seem to be doing fine despite my neglect.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've also got some colonies that have been neglected somewhat, certainly in the last couple of months, and they all seem to be doing fine at the moment. So maybe there's something there for other beekeepers to think about overwintering bees. It's maybe less is more in terms of interference.
Yeah, quite possibly. I would say that I wouldn't want to leave them a third year without treatment, but they seem to be doing fine at the moment.
Cool. So we're almost into spring. What are your plans for your beekeeping this year? Have you got much on?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like anticipated losing more bees than I have. So I've kind of like got plans to make increase from my colonies early on. But in the longer term, I'd like to reduce the number of hives from, I went into winter with about 90. I'd like to get down to about 60 and focus on being a better beekeeper rather than spreading my focus too wide.
Sure. I know in the past you've done quite a bit of queen rearing. Is that on the cards for this year?
Yeah, I work with another bee farmer doing queen rearing, and from one of your earlier podcasts, I talked about the queen rearing we do at the Aberton Reservoir, and we're still going strong on that.
Excellent. So from the Stour Valley Apiaries business, you and Julie have developed Busy Bee Cosmetics, which is what I really wanted to talk about today. How did that come about? How did you decide to move direction into cosmetics?
Yeah, well, it was quite interesting in that I was offered redundancy and early retirement in 2015.
Okay.
And at the time, I had about 6 colonies, and I thought, what am I going to do with all this extra free time 10 years earlier than expected? And I thought, people had always told me that you can't make money out of keeping bees. And I took that as a bit of a challenge. So I thought, you know, what about building a business that is all about the bees? And, you know, both Julie and I had previously worked for HSBC, And we'd spent most of our careers advising businesses without any practical hands-on experience of our own. So it was kind of like time to turn that into using that knowledge and experience and seeing if it held any water. So Julie at the time was still working for HSBC, and I sort of like built up my colony numbers from 6 to 32 in the first year. And Julie was travelling up to Norfolk every day, which was like an hour and a half journey each way.
Yeah.
And she was getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock to do it. And because I didn't need to get up until whatever time I wanted to, she was leaving me in bed, and it didn't seem very fair. So she said, could I join the business and do something in the business? And I said, yeah. I said, I've got all this beeswax I've kind of like been saving up for no particular reason. Maybe you could do something with that. And Julie gave her notice in, and then went through a bit of an existential crisis about what she wanted to do. And then about 6 months after this initial conversation, she came to me and said, I wonder if I could do something with all that beeswax you've got. So fortunately, she thought it was her idea. So that was good. and so she started Busy Bees Cosmetics. And then it was a matter of, over the last really 6 years, she's been, you know, working on processing the wax, getting it to a cosmetic standard, developing recipes, developing products, getting them licensed, getting them on the government portal.
And that sounds like an awful lot of work. Can I take you back to like the very start of the business? I guess that would have been 2018-ish?
About that, yeah.
And am I right in thinking that it was lip balms that were the kind of first product that you would have looked at?
No, there was actually two products before that. So we actually started off doing beeswax wraps.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the beeswax
wraps. They were kind of like the up-and-coming thing.
Yeah.
I can tell you later why we stopped doing them. And the second product was actually a pet paw lotion. Now, our pet paw lotion, because it's a cosmetic for pets, doesn't require licensing. So it was something that we could bring to market more quickly while we were getting the lip balms licensed.
Right. And there's quite a lot of hoops to jump through for all of this licensing stuff, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and because of Julie's banking background, she's just super organised and she's very good at following a process. So you've got to jump through hoops. But there's lots of things in what we do. Like, you know, when we were trying to find the right apiary sites, it was like being politely persistent until people would actually see you and then set up your... So she's always politely persistent until someone tells her to go away, hopefully politely.
Or cracks and gives in.
Usually they crack.
In terms of the lip balms,
yes.
What's the range like now? What kind of flavours do you have these days?
Most of the cosmetics have 8 flavours.
Okay.
Part of the reason for that is that the licensing companies allow you to produce 8 flavours for the same price.
Right.
So we kind of like always, when we get in the licenses, we always get 8 because it's the same money for 1, 2, or 8.
Okay.
And then often we've sort of like launched first 4 flavours and then later on launched the next 4 sort of thing. So that's why most of our hand creams have 8 flavours and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And most popular lip balm in terms of flavour?
Wild orange.
Wild orange. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So I have to hold my hand up here and say that I've sneakily jumped onto your website. And if anybody wants to have a look at the story and the history of how Busy Bee Cosmetics has developed, then if you have a sneaky look at their About Us page, it'll give you lots of information about all the products as well, which is really useful for me because I can fire questions at you from your own website. You on here, you talk about wildflower seeds that you packaged as well, which is a great idea. How did that come about?
Well, I kept seeing advertisements for bee bombs and was seeing a lot of beekeepers selling those. But when you look at the actual seeds that are contained in it, a great product, but they're aimed at other pollinators rather than honeybees. So
right.
I wanted to actually put a mix together that was actually honey bee friendly. So that was what came about there. And they sell really well, obviously, in the spring.
Yeah, it looks like a really nice mix of plants for honeybees, borage, red clover, phacelia, crimson clover, and bird's foot trefoil. I mean, they're all really good plants for honeybees, aren't they?
Absolutely. And the other thing, when they're planted together, because we've planted them in our own garden, the borage and phacelia come through really quick, pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
And then they reseed.
Okay.
And the clover takes probably about 12 months to really start to show, as does the birdfoot trefoil.
I might have to have some of that off you to put in our back garden. I've got a little spot that I need to get some plants into. And also on your About Us page, you've got wood polish. Now, I've had a bash at doing this myself, and I have to say I did give up fairly quickly. How did the wood polish come about? Is it just natural progression, something else to add to the kind of product line?
Well, probably about half the products we have are licensed cosmetics. I mean, a cosmetic license is required for anything that is used on the skin. That's kind of like the fundamental. And so wood polish is something that you don't need a license for.
Okay. I guess getting the balance of the different, you know, the beeswax and the other ingredients, it takes a bit of time to get that right, though.
Yeah, I mean, it takes quite a bit of practice to get it right. And then once you have it right, it doesn't go wrong, if you know what I mean.
It's, yeah, yeah.
As well as getting the right proportions, you obviously need to add them in the right order because, you know, you're sometimes dealing with dangerous chemicals.
Maybe that's where I was going wrong in mixing it all together. It can be quite dangerous, can't it? I mean, there is a genuine serious health and safety issue here that we shouldn't just brush over. Thinking in terms of these licenses that you have to obtain for the skincare products, as it were.
Yes.
Is that the same for soap, I guess?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when did you develop the soaps? Was that fairly early on?
It was probably our second to last product, really, mainly because I think really, if we think about our product range, we started easiest first and then moved on, kind of like made on through it. And soap is a challenge because we make a cold process soap, and it's you're basically mixing oils with caustic soda. And obviously caustic soda is not a nice chemical on its own. So the key to making soap in this way is that you have to get the exact amount of caustic soda to oil.
Right.
And because you're using multiple oils, each oil requires a different amount of caustic soda for its volume to react properly. And so the caustic soda reacts with the oil to produce soap. But if you put in too much caustic soda, you end up with caustic soap because it hasn't all reacted. And if you put in too little, you end up with oily soap because not all the oilers. So it has to be done to the the milliliter.
Yes, and that really needs time and focus and concentration.
Each mix of oils requires a different amount of caustic soda, so it's quite a calculation to get that spot.
Best left to the experts by the size of things. No, certainly not something I'm going to dash out and try over this weekend, that's for sure.
We also had quite a few disasters with that, because if you do get it wrong and the reaction happens too quickly, then you end up with something called a volcano, which basically means that you've got kind of like exploding soap, erupting out of the
mold. Does it bubble up and fizz up like a volcano?
Yeah. So and when we are making soap, we are wearing protective equipment.
Sure. And then following on from that, I see, and this is something I've seen quite a lot of over the last year or so, is beeswax melts.
Yeah.
This is something that you melt down and you get a fragrance from.
That's right. So, I mean, there's lots of sort of like wax melts.
Yeah.
But the thing is that whenever you're burning anything other than when you're burning petroleum wax, I mean, really, it's a bit like having your exhaust of your car in your living room. You certainly don't want to be using petroleum wax when you're trying to create an air freshener, which is what these are.
Yeah.
But with beeswax, it obviously helps to have something that smells pleasant on its own and is fairly innocuous with essential oils. And we find that when you use tea light that burns for about 4 hours, it gives off a scent that lasts for at least 4 hours, and you can probably even get a second burn off of it.
Right, okay.
So it's quite long lasting and really fills the room. It isn't harsh like some air fresheners can be.
So when you say it burns, the beeswax doesn't actually burn, does it? There's no flame, it just melts down?
That's right. So the candle itself is the tea light is the power.
Okay, right.
And that goes in the bottom of a burner that these are purpose made, and we sell these as well.
Right.
Although most people that buy our melts already have the burner. And then the wax sits in a tray above the candle and gently melts and gives off its scent.
Gotcha. Right. So moving on from that to what appears to be the final product in the list on your About Us page is hand cream. So you've been messing around with hand cream to get the consistency right.
That's right.
Again, I guess this is another one of those tricky things where someone like me, who has so much else to do, I just don't have the time to spend experimenting, really. So how difficult was this to get right?
Well, it took us a couple of years. But the thing is that a lot of hand creams, the commercial hand creams, are emulsified. And that means that they're mixed oil and water. And once you mix oil and water, you need some sort of preservative in there. So emulsified hand creams, kind of like, are probably left to the professionals.
Yeah.
But we wanted to find a hand cream that was oil-based but wasn't oily.
Okay.
It is obviously isn't easy to do. But
no.
By selecting the oils that we did, then that enabled us to get to a consistency we were happy with and that doesn't feel oily.
Right.
It works really well.
That's fantastic. You've got such a long list of products there. How can you possibly do all your beekeeping? I know Julie's kind of focused on this, but you've sent her out delivering today. So have you got anyone else helping you out with this?
Yeah, we have. We've got a fantastic lady called Roxy who does all the production. So Julie devised all the recipes and did the initial production, and then we've recruited Roxy into our team. So she's working 4 days a week for us. She makes the cosmetics and then labels and wraps them if it's needed.
Fantastic. So we've obviously known each other a while now, and I've seen your Busy Bees cosmetics business grow right from the start up to what appears to be a booming business now. And part of that appears to be that you're able to supply beekeepers like myself who maybe have outlets that we service and do fairs and farmers markets and that kind of thing. But you're able to supply white label goods. Is that how it's described?
Well, yeah, we do. It's about 50-50 in that a lot of the people we supply over 30 beekeepers and bee farmers around the UK now.
Okay.
And about half of them take our Busy Bee labelled products. And it's about half, but it's probably increasingly white label now. So we take a minimum order of £100 for our labelled products.
Yeah.
And for the white labelled products, we need people to order 120 units. So for Linda, that would be 120 times £2.30
so
for a
Linda. Could you just explain what we mean for those people that are listening and haven't heard the term before? Can you just explain what white label products are?
Yes. So a white label product is one where basically we're using your name, your logo on the front of the product. And if you look at the website, you'll see examples of other people's logos. And we also do corporate gifts and things like that with the company name and logo on. And usually our white label involves kind of like putting the customer's logo on and their name. But for some customers, we've actually used their entire design of a label.
Okay.
The only kind of like rider with this is obviously the manufacturer's details need to be on the back.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I could simply ask you to put my name and logo, Norfolk Honey Company, and our logo on these products, and I could then sell them through my own website, and I don't need to get any licenses signed up or pay for anything
Absolutely.
else.
Absolutely. So there's two things really. There's multiple advantages in that you don't need to make them, so you
And
can
that
save
was the
them.
first thing. Yeah, that was the first thing I was thinking, that actually I've got somebody here that can do all the hard work for me.
Exactly. And also because of the scale that we've managed to achieve, we can buy our containers at a fifth of the price that you could buy them from, say, Freeman and Harding.
Right.
So that, we can pass that saving on. As well as not needing to do the licensing because we've done it, you are covered by our insurance. So
Okay.
if you're a beekeeper with insurance through the British Beekeepers Association in the UK, up to 40 hives, you are covered for primary hive products. So anything you do to add to your beeswax, like making cosmetics, those are not covered by the product liability insurance of the BBKA. But because we are bee farmers and covered by our bee farmers insurance, our products are covered by the bee farmers insurance. So
Right.
you can kind of like piggyback off our licensing and our insurance.
Okay, so that's fantastic. It's very tempting. I have seen the products. You were at the trade show, well, first trade show last year at
That's
the
right.
beekeeping show where I happened to spend some time. Couldn't make it this year, but you were at the beekeeping show again this year. How did that
Yeah,
go?
that's right. No, it's fantastic. I have to say, for anybody that hasn't been to the beekeeping show, it is, in my opinion, the best beekeeping trade show in the UK.
Well, I think that's probably covered all of the products that you have. Earlier on, you mentioned beeswax wraps and the fact that you used to make them. You've stopped making the wraps now. Is there any particular reason?
Yes, it's amazing that when you start to pay somebody to make these cosmetics, you start to appreciate how much time things take and the actual real cost. So when Julie was making all our cosmetics, we didn't really have a line of sight to how much time. And it's one thing I would advise anybody who's doing keeping bees commercially or semi-commercially as part of their livelihood, always think of how much time you're spending and try to value it. So once we were actually paying Roxy to make them, we realized that the number we could make an hour versus how much we were paying and made them by far our least profitable
Right.
product. There was a small margin in it, but for the amount of time we felt making the newer products that we have was more worthwhile for us.
Sure. And at the end of the day, that's kind of why we're in business, isn't it? Trying to
Yeah.
make these things work financially for us. So, and there's an important point, really, for anyone that's thinking about moving into commercial bee farming or semi-commercial. It's got to pay for itself. It suddenly becomes this business where before it was a hobby and you could kind of write off things that were costing you. But once it becomes a business, it's far more important to focus on where the money is being made because you've got bills to pay.
Exactly right.
Just to wrap up this conversation, and having had yet another sneaky look on your website, for anybody that's out there who is keen hobbyist, semi-commercial or fully commercial beekeeper and doing things like farmers markets and fairs, do take a look at the Busy Bees Cosmetics website because there's some fantastic photographs of the product range. And if you've got a table at a fair or a farmers market, you can really enhance your presence and the jars of honey that you've got by adding some of these products, if not all of these products. So it's well worth taking a look at. If somebody wanted to take on either the Busy Bees Cosmetics products as they are, or wanted to go down the white label route, I guess the best way to contact you is via the website.
Absolutely. I would just add to what you said there as well, Stuart, that our customers who run their market stalls find that their sales are increased about 50% by stocking the
Wow.
cosmetics. And the thing is that they're there anyway. They've paid the fee for the stall anyway. So, I would say this, but I feel it's a bit of a no-brainer to have something else there that will draw people to, well, will also draw people to your honey. But yeah, just contact us through the contact page on the Busy Bees website. It's busybeescosmetics.co.uk. There's a contact page there with all of Julie's contact details, and Julie'd be happy to chat through the options with you.
Yeah, brilliant. Again, we're not doing farmers markets any longer, but just because of workload, but it's certainly something that I would put on the stall, and I thoroughly recommend it to anybody who is looking to enhance their product offering, really. Once again, it's been great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Wish you well this season, and I wish Julie well with the Busy Bees Cosmetics. We're getting together at the weekend for our Bee Farmers Association regional meeting, so I look forward to seeing you there.
Yes.
And we'll catch up next time.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stuart.
Well, I hope you found that interesting. I, for one, am definitely going to take a look at all of those products that Kevin has described today. And don't forget to check out my website, www.norfolk-honey.co.uk, and for my latest videos and podcasts with more updates, tips and techniques, it's the same Patreon page, www.patreon.com/Norfolk Honey. And remember, I'm Stuart Spinks, and that was Beekeeping Short and Sweet.